wonder, you know, what's going to happen in this new year. Sometimes we're glad that we're done with the last year and we get to move into something new. I'm sure there's a few of us feeling that way.
Hey, good. Something brand new. Thank you, Lord. Show us what you want to do here, God. Maybe there are some things, you know, there's so much about the future. We don't hold the future, but God holds the future, right? God's in control. He reminds us that he's the same yesterday and today and forever. He's the same. And as he's been faithful to us in the past, he's going to continue to be faithful in the future. And as he has led us and guided us and held us with some of the brokenness and the hard things and the bumpy roads that we've been on, we also know that as we go in the future, he's going to continue to do the same thing. Amen? So here's something that we're just going to try a bit this morning before I open the word. I just wanted to give you an opportunity to share what you might be hearing from God. You know, is there maybe a prophetic word or a prophetic voice, or it might even be just not even that at all. You know, it might be that you just want to, here's what you think or here's how you feel God is leading in the future. What's God, you know, how is he holding our hands, and where is he bringing us as a church and as families and as individuals? So I want to kind of pose that question to you today. Maybe you've kind of been hearing something, or maybe the Holy Spirit has planted something in your heart, and you're going, I really believe that God is wanting us to do this, or he's moving me, you know, my family or my own personal life. Here's something he's challenging me to do. Here's going to be an opportunity for you to share briefly just on some of those things, you know. So the question of this morning is, what's God doing in 2018? Where is our King going to lead us? I just ask you to be brief, you know, because usually it's better if we're short. If you're short, then we keep it about God, because that's what this is about. It's not about you. It's not about what your desires are or what you're hoping, you know, for your New Year's resolutions. You can do that. That's fine. But this is worship. So let's just keep this close and short. What is God saying? How is he leading us? What have you been hearing him? Let's do that. Who wants to go first? Robin, and then you.
I thought it was quite the moving of the Holy Spirit, because we went to our counseling session that we go to every 2 weeks, and our pastor out in Haines said that the word he got for the year was one, which I thought was really powerful, because this whole last week of fasting and prayer, our prayers kept coming back to unity. So I really believe that God is going to move to unite the body of Christ this year, bring the churches together and the organizations together to work together and have a more impactful thing out there.
Oh, praise the Lord.
One church, one body.
Yeah, I heard a worship leader say just recently about a New Year's resolution, and I went, oh, no, because I just think that's so worldly. But actually, what he said was pretty good. He said, I just want more of Jesus and less of me, he said.
Yeah.
And it just so tied in with what Robin was saying from the platform there, too, that, yeah, more of you, Lord, more of you in us. And we watched a really cool movie last week at Patterson's called Christ in You, and that's the hope of glory, right? And so all of us could, that could be a New Year's resolution, really, for all of us, just more of Jesus.
More of Jesus.
And less of us.
Yeah, more of Jesus. More of Jesus. Thanks. I got it. Joseph.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
I thank God this morning for this opportunity. I'll use this platform to encourage each and every one of us here this morning. It's not easy to wake up early in the morning to visit the house of God and say, Jesus, good morning.
Yeah.
Some people are somewhere drinking, sleeping, and enjoying themselves. But we choose to show ourselves to our Maker.
Mm.
He's the potter. We are just the
Amen.
Clay.
Amen.
You are the clay. You can't tell the potter to mold you the way you want. Yeah. So I stand and say, no. I visited many churches in Redia here. But I want to understand why the name Potter's Hand.
Mm.
It made a lot of sense to me. I said, no. I have to visit this great family.
Mm.
Amen.
Amen.
If you are here this morning, it's not by mistake. God has something great prepared for you.
Amen.
If you can put this verse, Isaiah 41, verse 10. We read it together. Isaiah 41. Yep. We need to encourage each other. Some people are so weak in spirit. If you see yourself that you can encourage somebody, don't hesitate. God is putting something in you to tell this guy, stand up. Amen. You can do it.
Yes.
Don't be afraid.
Yes.
The Lord is with you.
Yes.
The Lord can hold you up.
Amen.
You can do it. Move forward. Amen. And it shall be so. Amen.
Amen.
Can we read together Isaiah 41, verse 10? Let's go.
So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
Amen.
Amen.
Which hand is bigger than the mighty hand of the Most High?
Hmm.
Nobody can help you. No. Your parents cannot help you. Your friends cannot help you. But this man, so high, can help you because he said, fear not.
Thank you.
I am your God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Good time for a few more. Sorry, Ted.
Thank you. Did you folks read the Calgary Herald? This is an answer to prayer. Head of, like, Lord of Drugs in Calgary has turned his life over to Jesus Christ. And it's right in the paper how he loves Jesus. And now he's working in Vancouver, right on the worst place in Vancouver, telling them about Jesus Christ.
Do you say amen? Man, isn't that what we want to see? Isn't that what we want to hear? You know, more of that in 2018, and just calling on God today, on this Sunday morning, this first Sunday. Lord, turn the lives of these drug dealers and these gangs. Turn them over to you, because that's the only answer, and it's the only way. Like, we try all kinds of things from a man point of view, and it doesn't work. The only way this is going to happen is true conversions, people turning their hearts to Jesus and walking away from that old life. And God can do this. Do we believe that? Do we have a faith for that? That God can do this. So be it, God. So be it, Lord. And this year, may there be many who turn to you.
Yes.
May there be many who just speak of the kingship and the lordship of Jesus. Amen. Just think about, I could just go on and on here, but I will. you know, how many people are affected when just one individual like that turns his life to Jesus? How many people's lives are better, and how many others look at this one guy and they go, wow, if you can do this, you know, and I see peace finally in you, and you're not getting peace from the drugs, the morphine, or whatever it is, you're getting peace from this Jesus you talk about. Man, can you imagine how that will just work from one to the other, like a domino effect? So God, we speak this today. We speak it out loud. We say, may Jesus Christ be king. May Jesus Christ be the Lord of the gangs and the drug dealers and all the stuff that's going on. Don't hold me back. Doug, Don, there's a mic right there.
When you just spoke about the faith, the Bible says in Mark 9:24 about, and I've repeated this so many times, when Jesus said to the father of the boy that took epileptic fits, do you believe? And what did the father say? Yes. But help me with my unbelief. So if we feel that we're a little low on the faith today, call on him. He'll even help you to believe in him. Amen.
Good word. That's a good word. Amen. That's prophetic. Just believe. Just ask him. Ray.
A woman at New Year's Eve said that she had a dream. God showed her, made her hear a bell. And she didn't know what that could be, bells. She comes from a farming community, so that was the cowbells. Anyway, the next day or so, she was listening to TV evangelists saying, the same bell. God, the Lord says, this is the year of change. And change starts from within, right? That's how this the whole city would change if we change.
Amen. Amen. To me? Sorry. Go ahead first. Go ahead, Karen. That's good.
Just the word that keeps coming to my mind is the word fearless. We have to be fearless, less fear. We need to incorporate the love of God in us. That's what makes us fearless. We don't need to fear man. We don't need to fear what their opinions of us. We just need to walk in him. And his word says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I mean, Even now, we still are in works in progress.
Yep.
With mercy, grace, and love guiding us. Then he will hear from heaven. And if we ask, believing, we will receive.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be pressed in to God in the morning.
Yeah.
I count it all joy to be injured. I hit a sidewalk before Christmas, and it has been wonderful ever since.
Mm.
Broken bones or not, because this is the time I get to spend with the Lord.
That's good.
Right. We spend 3 to 5 hours in the morning with the God. You're going to be able to press in more.
Amen.
If you can afford to spend 15 minutes with God, press in more.
Thank you, Jesus.
Through the day, press in more, because he is your source.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's the one that has to guide your footsteps.
Yeah.
He's the one that's going to lead you to those people. We are all on a one-to-one basis. We are talking to people one-on-one. Unless we're in the ministry of evangelism, that we don't necessarily speak to the masses. So when we speak one-on-one, we speak to the heart.
Yeah.
We speak God's word to the heart. We need to press into his word, read his word, so that we can speak the truth.
Yes.
The truth is what sets them free. They're not going to know the truth unless we speak it to them. So we need to be fearless, not be concerned about what man says to us, but to just press in and go on a day at a time.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good. To me.
Amen. Good word.
Sorry, my English is still broken. That's why this is the first time I don't like preaching today. I hope you can translate what I say to them. This is the first time I stand in here to say something. Because the Lord really want us wake up this year to more obey him. The Lord really loves us. That's why he come.
Yeah.
He come to make us move from the darkness to the
light.
Light.
Amen.
The Lord want us more strong to do what the Lord will. Because he saved us to obey him. That's the point. That's why I come. So please, always, like the sister say, talk to heart. So come with heart to the Lord Jesus to make us strong. That you say the priest, Isaiah 41, at verse 10, make us really, really strong in him. So no more fear, exactly. Why we fear? Because something wrong with it.
That's right.
So please continue more obey him, so no more fear on us.
Amen.
Lord, make us strong to make light in the world.
Amen.
That's why Red Deer need you guys.
Yes.
Need us.
Amen.
Pray for them and talk to them. Without do something, nothing. Faith with obey is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point in our life. as a Christian, as a believer, Jesus already saved us.
Yes.
That's the point. Yes. So please, each other, forgive each other, stronger each other, and love each other with heart.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anyone not understand that? Because that was really awesome. Awesome. Thank you, yeah, Tumi. Okay. You understood every word, yeah. We got one or two more. So, Vic.
Hi. I just see like a recurring like, pattern here. Christ in you, more Jesus, obey more Jesus, and then sit him over there. I don't know your name, sorry, but you said stand up, don't be afraid. Stand up, for your light has come. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. You don't really believe that, but Christ will help you get more faith. And recently, the past few days, I just heard this word in my head, I have the final say. And I go like, what do you, I don't know what that means. And the last night, a preacher I was watching on Bethel said, God has the final say on your life.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
that's
amen.
Right.
So that means he has the final say on every problem you have, your sicknesses, your credit cards,
yeah,
your life, your job. You might not have a job, but he has the final say. And that's this whole year, I feel like he has the final say. And it all depends how much you want to have of him. There's no pressure. He's always there. He's the everlasting Father. So he'll always be there whenever you need him.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's a good word. So one more, and that's Darcy, you get the last word today.
I was going to try to.
Well, 2018, eight in spiritually is a year of completion. The number means completion. So this is a year that God wants to complete things in your lives and all of our lives, you know, and everything that you've wrapped up nicely fits right into that year of completion. So press into God, ask God what you want completed in your life and what he wants completed in your life, because it's two ways. He has control of your life too. So be of good cheer and press in, because God has good things this year.
Amen.
I just had one word a few weeks ago when I was praying about the new year, and it was transformation. It goes totally along with what we've heard already. Transformation. This is a year of transformation.
Amen. Amen. You say amen to that? Hallelujah.
Amen. I'd like to share a little bit. And the only way we're going to be transformed and the only way the church is going to move forward is by prayer.
Amen.
Prayer and supplication. When you surrender to the Spirit of God and you begin to pray and intercede and cry out, develop a personal prayer life. Develop that. And I just greatly encourage you for 2018.
Good.
If you want change, it's prayer. Just bow your knee before the living God and say, God, I can't do this. You know, and God Almighty will come and sustain you and give you the strength to accomplish the things that God has put in your heart. Otherwise, it just becomes a work of the flesh. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be by the Spirit. So for 2018, develop a personal prayer life.
Amen.
Amen.
All the people said, amen. Amen. Tola, would you come up here? I know you don't know why, but I want you to pray. I just really believe that God's laid that on my heart. Would you pray for us as a church as we move into a new year? Would you pray for boldness? Would you pray for unity? Would you pray for Jesus to lead us? And just pray how the Spirit moves you to pray today. Will you do that for us?
We give you glory, Lord, as we worship you. We give you glory, Lord, as we honor you.
Praise God.
For you are wonderful, and you are worthy, oh Lord. You are wonderful. You are worthy, oh Lord. You are wonderful. You are worthy, oh Lord. You are wonderful. You are worthy, oh Lord.
Thank you, God.
Father, in Jesus' name, Father, we thank you, oh God, for everything you have done in our lives, O God. We thank you for this great church, O God, that you have chosen, O Lord. We thank you, Father, for everything you have done for us, from the oldest to the youngest, O God. We thank you for everything you did throughout last year, Lord, for everything we went through, and for every testimony from each and every one of them.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for all your blessings. We thank you for the storm we went through. We thank you for the pains. We thank you for all the blessings. We thank you for the tears. We thank you for the joy. We thank you for the peace. We thank you for your glory. We thank you for everything you have done, O God. It is you, O Lord. You have been with us throughout last year, even to this very moment. Father, we thank you. When the storm came, O Lord, Father, you stood by us. When we went through the water, Father, you did not let us get drowned. Father, when we went through the fire, Lord, you were still with us. You stood by us, O God. Father, we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the adoration. We ascribe all majesty unto you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we commit ourselves again into your hand this year, O God. We cannot do it by ourselves, Lord. We are depending on you. You are the God that led the Israelites to the promised land. You are the God that can make way out of no way. You are the one that provided water from the rock. Father, you are the God Almighty, and there is nothing impossible for you to do. Lord, we commit everybody into your hands, O God. We commit the church into your hands, O God. We commit every minister into your hands. We commit the pastor into your hands. We commit all the instrumentalists into your hands. We commit all the instruments into your hands. We commit every life that steps into this church into your hands, O God. Father, we pray, O Lord, that you will manifest yourself in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, Lord God Almighty, we pray, O God, that your glory will radiate in this church, O God. Your goodness will be revealed in this church, O God. Your purpose, O Lord, alone will be established in this church, O God. Your will will be accomplished in this church, O God. Your grace shall be sufficient for us in this church, O God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, everything we're going to go through, O Lord, tomorrow, we don't know. But you, God Almighty, knows, because you are God of today and tomorrow and forevermore. Lord, we commit ourselves into your hands, O God. We pray, O Lord, God Almighty, that you will cover us, O Lord, every members of this church and every soul that will step into this church. Father, you will cover us with your grace, your blood, your mercy in the name of Jesus. We cannot do anything by ourselves, O Lord. And that is why we're crying unto you. We pray, Father, Lord God Almighty, every steps we take throughout this year, O Lord. Father, you will guide us in the name of Jesus. The power not to be afraid, O God, you will bestow unto us in the name of Jesus. The power to pray, O Lord, you will give unto us in the name of Jesus. You will open our eyes unto new things, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you all the glory, Lord. We thank you because you alone are God, and we are depending on you, O God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, brother. You know, as we share together and open things up, and one of the reasons we do that is because we believe everybody has a voice, not just one or two of us, but everyone has a voice, and that we benefit from hearing from the voices like we just did today. I don't know about you, but that was just awesome. The things I heard today were really awesome. Partly for me, because I know what God laid on my heart to say today. And bing, 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 bing. I'm going, some of these, the actual verses and the scriptures and the word that God's been laying on my heart didn't just come by one or two today, but by like four or five different people bringing that same message, which is really confirmation. It's for me, I feel good about that. Now I'm ready to preach because I know this is exactly what God wants, right? He says, go and tell them. In some ways, you've already been told. We've already heard this, you know, in a number of different ways. But this is God's word today. And let's just pray and ask God to speak today. So God, thank you for your word and that we go into a new year fearlessly. We pray that your word would be clear and we'd understand it and we'd understand your nature and that you want to have that intimate, personal, quiet relationship with us. Speak now. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. I think I can probably list on one hand the amount of times in my life, and I've preached for 30 years, but how many times I've preached on the book of Lamentations. It's not one of the, you know, top 10. Today the message is from Lamentations, and if you have a Bible and you know where Jeremiah is, Lamentations is right after that. And I want to read this morning Lamentations chapter 3, verse 19. You're just going to have to put up with my cold because I have to. I'm sorry if I sound kind of gross. But this is what God's word is today. Lamentations chapter 3, we begin with verse 19. And I have this written in my Bible. This is a promise that Gertie gave me in 2015, November the 19th. I write those down sometimes. Read this with me. Just listen as I read. Lamentations 3:19. He says, I remember my affliction and my wandering. I remember the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. And yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail, and they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Amen? And I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope in him, and to the one who seeks him. And then just skipping down to verse 31. For men are not cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. And that's just as far as we're going to read today. And it's really a word of God that ties into the messages recently about hope. That we still have hope. No matter what, God's still in control. He still loves us. He cares for us. And we don't, you know, we don't go into this new year without a direction, without a purpose. He leads the way ahead of us. Amen? That's a great thing about God, is he knows where he wants us to be. And if we follow him, we'll end up being where we're supposed to be. Now, it says that, or Jeremiah, who wrote Lamentations, says, I remember my affliction and my wandering. And sometimes, you know, he starts with that word, that's sort of the, he lays that down. And sometimes that's how we feel as we go into a new year, because you look back over your shoulder and you go, man, I remember 2017, I remember my affliction, I remember my wandering. You know, afflictions are things like, you know, you might lose your job or you go really into debt or you had a sickness or something happens to you. And so Jeremiah says, well, I remember that. I remember the hard things. I remember they're still pretty vivid. Some of those memories are still really fresh in my mind. I remember my afflictions and my wanderings and that my soul was so downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind. And therefore I have hope. And this is the central verse. This is the key verse right here. He says, even though I've been through some hard things, even though I remember some afflictions and some disappointments and some brokenness, he says this, yet this I call in mind. I remember this. I am deliberately thinking about this, he says. And this is why I have hope. Now get this. Here we go. These two verses. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail, and they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Amen? let's talk about that for a bit. First of all, he says, you have hope. You can put your hope in God. You can trust him because he loves you. Because of God's or the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Amen? You don't sound like you believe that. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed. Yeah, amen. Thank you. God loves you. You know that first song we learned, some of us, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. I'm loved by God. I'm not consumed. If you feel today like you're being consumed, or you feel like life is not worth living, or it's just been too hard, and you don't know whether you can forge ahead anymore, let me tell you something. God loves you. And because of his great love, we are not consumed. The enemy doesn't get to win. The enemy doesn't get to have his way with our lives or with our future, because God is in control and Jesus is my king. But it's about the love of God. It all starts with the love, not just the love, but the great love. Did you get that? It doesn't say, you know, the mediocre love or the pretty good love of God. No, we're talking about the great love. We got a great God who loves greatly. He loves you so much. What does John say, right? How amazing it is that we should be called the children of God, right? Right? Yeah, that's who we are. You're loved by God. And that's why we have hope. It's based on, number one, the great love. That word in the Hebrew is the word hesed, and it's a special word. It's a special word that ties to God's covenant love. It's an agreement and a relationship that he's made with you and with me, saying, I have this kind of a deep, relational, intimate love with you. It's a covenant chesed love. Because I love you more than life itself, I will even allow my only son to die because I love you that much. The second thing he says, he talks about compassions. He says, and his compassions never fail. God's compassions, that word compassions means his mercy, his tenderness, his kindness. Those are his compassions. And it's his willingness to stoop down and to listen to us and to want to know what's on our hearts and what our needs are. That's the compassions of God. They're new every morning, every single morning. Let me ask you a question. You ever get tired of people? Good, there's a few. Do you ever say to yourself, man, I'm so sick of that person in my life. I've tried to help her. I've tried to be there for her. I've tried to, you know, minister or drive her around. I get sick of this. It's not working. We're not getting anywhere. I think I'm gonna end this. I'm not helping her anymore. It's time for someone else maybe to take over. I've done what I can. Anyone been there before? Thank you. I'm feeling better now. Right? But let me tell you that's never what God says. We get there. We get to that point. That's pretty human of us sometimes. You go, I'm sick of this. I'm not doing this no more. I can't handle this person in my life. I'm annoyed, and I'm not getting anywhere, and I feel like I'm just being used. But God never does that. God never says, I'm not going to spend time with you anymore. I don't have any interest in you, or I'm giving up on you. God never, never, never does that. Do you believe that? It's true. If you're here today and you think, well, God's given up on me, you couldn't be more wrong. God has not given up on you. God loves you with a passionate love of a father. He sees you as his daughter or his son, and all he wants is for you to be in his arms. In a bit, we're going to talk about what that looks like and some of that, the different words that came earlier about being, praying and being in the presence of God, and that he leads us to the hard things. But having that prayer life and that intimate relationship, we can do that because God's compassions, they never fail. You ever have it where you open your phone, someone's calling you, and you look at the number and you go, oh, Jay Rainville, are you kidding me? you don't like the name of the person who came up, right? Someone's phoning, oh, Don Ebenall, what's he going to whine about now? Right? Well, I want to tell, like, maybe I'm the only person who does that, so I need to confess. Later on, I'll be on my knees and ask for forgiveness. God doesn't have you on his phone where he sees your name and he goes, oh, are you kidding me? I mean, not again. Really? You're phoning again? Kimberly's phoning me again? Calling on me again? Never. That's not our God. We do that. God doesn't do that. God's compassions never fail. He, in other words, it never, I love this, it never runs out. He's always got mercy for me. He's always got time for me. Whenever he opens his phone and it says Stan, or maybe in his case it's Stan Lee, because he knows who I am, really am. He never goes, he never rolls his eyes, but he goes, oh, good. My son is calling. My son is praying. My son wants me to listen to him. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? That's good. And his compassions, we're told, they're new every morning. Again, I mean, is it just me? I just love this, that every morning God comes to me, he puts his arm around my shoulder, and he says, Stan, let's go at this again. Let's make a new start. Let's forget about yesterday. Let's worry about today and tomorrow. Because this is a new morning. This is a new day. My mercies for you are new today. Brand new, brand new, brand new. And I'm going to carry you through this day. Because you know what, Stan? This is the day the Lord has made. I made this day. And my mercies for you are new today. Grab on to that promise today. That's important. So it's his great love. It's his great compassions. And the third thing he talks about is his great faithfulness. Thank you. It's his great faithfulness. Again, it's all asking or answering the question, how can we have hope? How can we possibly have hope when everything is so dismal and dark and difficult and hard in our lives and broken out there? And that the answer to that question is we can have hope because we know the nature of God. That's how. That the very nature of God is that he is great in his love. He's great in his compassions towards us. And man, he is so great in his faithfulness. How great is the faithfulness of our God? Amen? Wow. Being faithful means that God is sure. If you want to, you know what the word faithfulness really means? It means you can count on God, that he'll be dependable, that he's the same yesterday as he is today, that he doesn't go up and down depending on how his emotions are or whether he's eaten or not or any of those things that might affect us. None of that affects God. He treats us the same every single time, and he is faithful in the way that he deals with us as his children. He's a faithful God. It means he's sure. He's a rock. My God is a rock. My God is a rock, and he's faithful. He continues to be the God who keeps his word. He has to. God is bound by his word. He keeps his word. When God makes a promise, we can say it's done. Amen, it's done. Amen? Because he's a God who's faithful. We're the ones who waver. We're the ones who go back and forth like a teeter-totter, but God never does, because great is his faithfulness. He is faithful to the promises he's made to his children. He is faithful to his word. And because of his faithfulness, again, just remind you where we're coming from, this is how we have hope and why we have hope. We don't have hope, someone mentioned this, we don't have hope because we're so great or because of your father or because of your family or because of all the RRSPs you might have. That's not where your hope is going to be. None of that stuff's going to work or last or have any real effect. The only hope that we have is in God. And what I'm telling you today, based on the Word of God, based on Lamentations, is that the nature of God is that he is great in love, great in his compassions toward us, and he is great in his faithfulness. Are you following that? Is that clear? Do I need an interpreter? Like, to me. Give me a sec here, okay? All right. But you know what? We missed the middle part of this. And I just opened the Bibles again, and I think it's really important that we get to the middle part. So the two bookends, I'm going to read the two bookends like I did before, but there's a middle part that we skipped. And it says, you know, earlier it goes, you know, great is God's great love. We are not consumed because of his love, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And then he says, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait on him. And then we jumped on to verse 31, because that's where he finishes the thought, where he says, for men are not cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. You see how he completed the thought? But now in the middle part, because the middle part is really our application today. Let me read the middle part. And it's a little bit strange, and it might be hard to understand, and I'm just going to tell you right off the at the outset here, this is hard to, this kind of stuff, what I'm going to talk about now, what I believe God is teaching us, is hard to put into words. It's more of something you need to experience. It's like trying to describe what a color looks like to someone who's colorblind. So I'm at a disadvantage. I'm going to do the best I can to describe what this intimacy is, using some metaphors and some examples. But you need to, you know, we really need the Holy Spirit to work in our lives to give us the intimacy and the quietness and that place with God, which so many of you talked about today, that intimate, quiet place with God that he wants from us. Let me read this and then try to explain a little bit of it. He says this, after all this wonderful talk about God's great faithfulness and his love and his compassion, he says this, the Lord is good to those who hope, whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence. Let the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. That just means let him come humbly to before God. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. There will yet be hope. That word may can be may or will. There will yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. Now that whole, all those six or seven verses are really all about how our God wants us to be in communion with him. He wants us to sit at his feet. He wants us to get off the merry-go-round. You know, everything's moving. Everything's always going in circles. There's always noise. There's always a remote control clicker in my hand or your hand. There's always something that is getting in the way of sitting in silence, like he talked about here, right? Let's hear these words one more time. The one who seeks him and whose hope is in him, who waits quietly. When's the last time you waited quietly? The one who waits for the salvation of the Lord and bears the yoke while he's young. The one who sits in silence, he says. All of those things describe a very special place that we can have with our Father. And those of you who know what I'm talking about are already doing this and you get it. But I'm also aware that there might be some of you who really don't understand what we're saying here, because it seems ethereal. It seems kind of way out there. And what does that mean? How do I have this quietness? How can I sit and listen to him? God says in his word, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Draw near to me. I will draw near to you. And I'm just here today to tell you that, I mean, there really is that place. Sometimes for me, it's in the night, but it doesn't have to be. Sometimes it can be just during the day when everything is quiet and when the merry-go-round stops and I don't have any music on. And it's not about words. It's not about noise. It's just about being with God. It's about feeling his presence. Knowing that he's just there. He's just there. And that he loves me. And I don't need to make him love me. He just wants me to be. Not to do, but to be. Most of us have lived all of our lives trying to do. We were taught to do. We were told to do. The church we went to said, you have to do. You know, God says, I just want you to be. Just be with me. And I can't, again, it's hard to describe what I'm trying to describe. It's kind of what the psalmist says when he says deep cries to deep. It's just in that deep place. It's in that secret. There's a secret place that only God and I share. And it's not about words. It's not about me defending myself. It's not about me trying to gain any special favors from God. It's not about my whole grocery list of things I want God to do for me. In fact, the less words, the better most of the time. And again, for me, a lot of times, it's just in the middle of the night when I find myself praying for a lot of you. And you need it, by the way. Just like you pray for me. But, you know, you find yourself just there and feeling the weight and the good heaviness of God. You know what I mean? The heaviness of God as deep cries to deep. And as your breakers and waves sweep over me, the psalmist said. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I understand that because I don't know how to describe it very well. But there's just that silent, quiet place where I just know God's there. And it isn't about anything I do or say. And it isn't about me defending myself. Let me just give you a couple of things here. But I think sometimes, even with God, but especially with each other, we want to justify ourselves. We want people to know the real story, you know. We want to get a little, we politic a little bit, you know. We want people to understand where we're really coming from and why it was her fault and not my fault, or his fault and not my fault. And so we get into all this defending myself. I got to defend myself. I want everyone to know. This place that I'm talking about, that I'm describing for you today, this place of intimacy, is a place where there is no self-defense. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. You don't need to defend yourself. You just need to be with God. Just be. Just listen. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me beside still waters. That's what I'm talking about. That's what God's saying today. I lead you beside still waters, and I want to restore your soul. That's what it is. That's what it is. It's the restoration of my soul that happens, right? It's the restoration of my soul happens not in all the frenzy and the cheerleading that we sometimes do. It happens in this. He restores my soul. And boy, my soul needs to be restored. I'll give you one other thing, or one other example of things that I think we need to change so that we can really be in that place, that secret, quiet place. And that's that sometimes some of us, maybe all of us from time to time, we run from crises to crises. And we like doing it. We've done this all our lives, and it's worked for us. Because there's something that's got us stirred up, or there's some problem we've got, or there's some huge fire, and we need to let everybody know about it, and we've got to call people to surround us because we need everybody's help. And it's worked for us because we've done this all our lives, and we feel like we're loved when we get this attention from people. And so it's working because we have a crisis and everybody gathers around us and they rub our backs and they say, you're a good girl and it's all going to be okay. And we walk away from that thinking, man, I just felt loved. But that's not love. That's not really love. And it doesn't ever end. You're never going to run out of crises. And so what I want to say, and I believe God wants to say to us today, is quit relying on the fires and the crises in your life. Just rely on me. Just come quietly before me. I'll take care of this stuff. Whatever that fire is, it isn't very hard for God. It's not hard for God. Just come to me, all you who are weary, tired, heavy burden, and I'll give you rest. And maybe that's what we're talking about. It's rest. I didn't have that planned, but I think that fits in. Shalom, peace. Come to me. I'll give you shalom. I'll give you peace. I'll give you, you know what? You can just breathe when you're with me. You don't need to perform. You don't need to dance around. You don't need to defend yourself. You don't need to have a crisis. I just ask you to be. And I'll give you rest. And I will bear your burden. Because I love you. And because my compassions are new every morning. And because my faithfulness is a great faithfulness. I want to encourage you. And again, you, if you're listening carefully, you heard this from four or five other people already today. But I want to encourage you to develop and to find that quiet place. That place where the brook is silently, quietly moving down the stream. I want to encourage you to find the time to just sit with Jesus. Just to sit and allow him to love you and to speak. Sometimes just to hold you. Just to hold you because he loves you. There's that song that's on the radio quite a bit. We sing it here too. You know, the one that goes, for you are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Right? And then it goes, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. I love that song, but you know, it's the next part that sort of, and I, again, these words may not work for you, but this is what I get when I'm sitting with my Jesus. When it goes, when it ends, the song ends with this. It goes, when the world is holding on to me, you're still holding on. When the world is holding on to me, God, you're holding on. That's what touches my heart. There's a tug of war sometimes. The world is holding on to me, but God has never, never let me go. And when the world is holding on, whatever it is, whatever the fingers are from the world that are trying to get a grip, God's still holding on. Krista, you want to come up? We're going to end today. I want to read from Psalm 43. We read earlier from Isaiah, and I was actually going to read that, by the way. In fact, I don't need to because you already read that, so I had that plan today because I fit in so well. But for a couple of moments this morning, I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads. And I want you to find that place. And I know that's not easy to do, especially sometimes in a crowd. But just close your eyes. Find that place where it's just you and God, where the only heartbeat is yours and his. And I want to read, I'm going to read from Psalm 43, and then we're going to sing Great is Thy Faithfulness. Just before we do that, I want to be sure to invite anybody who's here today. You just need prayer. Maybe you're afraid about what's going to happen in the new year. Maybe you're just going through some really hard time in your life. Maybe you got a court date coming up. Come for prayer. Because we have a God who is great in love, and he's great in his compassions towards us, and he is great in his faithfulness. I'm going to ask any of our board members just to come up near the end here, and they're leaders in this church. And by the way, we were here yesterday in a meeting praying. You know, we had a great prayer time praying for this church. We continue as board members, as leaders, to pray for each of you. As we need your prayers too. But that's really what we're talking about, just praying and ministering and loving each other. Bow your heads and just find that place with God. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you. From the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, and from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep. In the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs His love, and at night, His song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. And I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning and oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disquieted within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Say this with me. Just say, be still, my soul. Be still, my soul. Be quiet, my soul. Find rest, my soul, in God. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing this together. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. There's no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have. Right. maybe Alvin and Chad and Crystal, you got to stay in the piano, but there's a few of you that can come here. Maybe Darcy and Kirsten, you can just come and join us. If you need prayer today, there's just something in your life that you want to bring before God, I encourage you to come on up. This is a safe place. It's a good place to be. It's a good place to make that commitment to Christ or just to say, I want that intimate walk with you. I'm going to give you the parting blessing, but I want you to remember today that we are the Church of Christ. And we have the power. We are not powerless. We do not need to be afraid. We have the power that the Holy Spirit has given us to transform this world. And remember, the very nature of God is a nature that He is great in His love. He is great in His compassions towards us. And He is so great in His faithfulness. Amen? Lift up your hands. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you. The Lord give you His peace. Amen? Amen. Thank you, God. Keep playing.